What's up, everybody? My name is John Bautista, and you're listening to the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. We got something special for you today. We got our boss, CEO, El Jefe, all right, who runs things out here, and is our relationship guru, Kim Bowen. Welcome to the show, Kim.
I'm not sure I can beat El Jefe. Is that what you... Is that what you call me?
I did. Yeah,
it kind of sounds in my language like heifer. Let's. anyway, yeah. So I'm Kim Bowen. I own and founded the Marriage Place about 14 years ago. I wanted to do this work because my own marriage went through a really hard season, a long hard season, and somehow through a lot of hit and miss and blunderings, we got through it. And I realized, you know, that there's not a lot of really good resources out there at that time anyway, to help couples. And so here we are.
Thank you so much for sharing a part of your story, Kim. I'm sure that our listeners are curious, like, what is a pattern that you see in relationships these days?
Yeah. So I see this kind of thing come through my office quite frequently, but right now I'm dealing with two or three different couples where I'm hearing the standard phrases like, I love him, but I'm not in love with him anymore. Or a couple where the fighting is escalating and they are having trouble finding soft moments with each other. There's so much anger and resentment. And the husband threw his hands up in the air this week and just said, it just shouldn't be this hard. It just shouldn't be this hard. And that is so defeating to me as a therapist to hear that, because that comes from being psychologically conditioned by our society and our culture, right? That we don't know what love should look like, that it is hard work, and that if you base your marriage on feelings, then your marriage will not last.
It's interesting to note that people think that marriage and relationships should be easy. There's it's like an expectation that they should be.
Well,
I don't know where that comes from.
Every Hallmark movie you watch, every song, you know, of rainbows and tiptoeing in the moonlight and love is all you need. Isn't there a song?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. A few of them out there.
Yeah. And that's, I think, right. The Beatles even said it. So it's been around a while.
So let's get a definition down. I think it would be helpful to define our terms. What is love?
Love is a lot of things, but mostly it's an action. That's when I think about what love is. I think it's an action. It is showing up and willing to act lovingly, even when you are busy, distracted, irritable, not feeling a whole lot of goodwill toward your partner. You're loving them when you show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
To love them.
You know, from my understanding, you know, love is definitely a verb. You know, it's definitely an action. It's something that we do. But it's also done for, you know, the best interest of the object. And so if I were to say, you know, I love my cousin, or I love my brother, or I love pizza.
Pizza.
You know, it's
I mean, we use the word for everything. I love my kids, I love my pets, I love pizza.
Yeah.
It's easy to get confused, right?
It really is. And love is really acting in the best interest of someone else. Right. It's some sense of sacrifice and selflessness. It's other oriented. It's other seeking. I don't know how many songs or movies.
And even TV shows where I've seen
really show that
love as an action in the best interest of the other person. In fact, there was a recent TV show I was looking at. It's a show in the 90s called Boy Meets World. And you have Corey and Topanga. They're finally married. But most of the episode, maybe about, you know, 30 out of the 40 minutes, they were fighting, they were name calling, they were tearing each other down with their words and their behavior, and then maybe spent the last minute and a half, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of them fighting for the relationship. Most of the episode was fighting with each other and not for each other.
Yeah, I like that. The fight with, but not the fight for. I like that. Yeah. You know, most things that are worth having are difficult at some point to obtain, right? And so even when you think about it, our society has changed so much from the way men and women view each other, what they need and want from each other, you know, all the way from, you know, hundreds of years ago where marriage was about safety or financial security or whatever, to, you know, patriarchy, man ahead of the house, woman home, you know, wearing pearls, trying to do the dishes, take care of the kids, to whatever it is we have today. But even our relationships are just not surviving. Like even children and parents, like it is a thing right now going no contact with your parents. And honestly, quite frankly, most of the time, I think that's just a horrible abuse of power. You know, the person who cares the least has the most control. And so it's a punitive way of dealing with people that are difficult in your life. And we do that with our spouse as well. And so we don't know how to be relational anymore. We don't know how to do it with our friendships, with our family members, with our kids, with our parents, with our spouses. And so if we don't figure this out, if this pendulum doesn't shift in some way, I really fear for what that means for us as a society, because we're breaking down at a very fundamental level. And it's quite frightening, really.
Yeah, it's pretty unsettling. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, if we're not able to relate to each other, what does that mean? And what does that say about us relating to ourselves? You know, like if we're not able to relate to ourselves, then I don't think we're going to relate to someone else, right? Like empathy is this idea of going into self in order to identify and connect with someone else and what they're feeling. And
that's very true. But I feel like we have to be careful with that, because I think some of what got us in trouble in this area was this whole idea of self over others, of loving ourselves to the exclusion of loving others. See, we're created for connection. We are born for connection, and we heal through connection.
Yeah.
And so what is the first thing we do when we hurt? We isolate, or we hurt in return, which is so defeating of the whole purpose of everything. And so, yes, what you're saying is very important. And we teach this a lot, you know, in the work that we do, that you have to have a good relationship with yourself. You have to know who you are, what you want, what you need, and then you have to know how to get it and how to ask for it.
Yeah.
Right. But what happens too, when we don't know that, and then we get in difficult relationships or people who are demanding or annoying or hurtful, we're not equipped. We don't know how to set boundaries and hold them. We don't know how to, you know, take care of ourselves in that space. And so we cut off.
Yeah.
We cut off from parents when it's not necessary to cut off, but it is necessary to have good boundaries. It is necessary because they protect relationships. It is necessary to learn how to say that doesn't feel good. And then we do the same thing with our spouses. And so I'll see couples spend years and years being quiet and dealing with their hurt in their own private ways and then pulling away. And then one day they're just done. When if they'd had good boundaries, if they'd known themselves, if they'd known how to take care of themselves early on, they could have avoided so much of that. We're getting kind of deep in this, aren't we? Like it's not like, you know, so what's love, right? So, but we're really talking about the dynamics. Right. Here. I love it.
Right. And we're talking about people, and people, you know, there is a depth to each and every one of us. So when we talk about being marriage savvy and us, thinking about love and relationships, and is love all we need? So what would you say, how can we have a balance of loving self and being able to love self in a healthy way in order to love others in a healthy way? So what are some things that can help us keep that balance, and what else do we need? Like aside from love, aside from being able to act on someone else's best interest, what else do you think we need?
Again, nuanced and complicated, but there are, there's a term that we use a lot in our therapy at the Marriage Place, and it's called differentiation. And to be healthy in any relationship, you have to have this key component. And so what differentiation means in, you know, differentiation for dummies basically is, it is knowing yourself. So know who you are, know what you like, what you don't like, what you need, what you don't want. Know your core wounds, because most of us walk around hurting and we don't know why, and we start looking for other people to fill it, right? Knowing yourself that well. So that requires self-reflection. It requires healing. It requires doing your work, right? And then you, because you've done that work and you're healing and you're not operating from a wounded state, you know when you're being reasonable and when you're being unreasonable. And when you're being reasonable, you know how to ask. And you can also hear no. So when your partner's not able or willing at that moment to give us what we want or we need, then we can act like mature adults about it. We don't threaten. We don't pout. We don't blow up in rage. We don't give them the silent treatment for days and days, right? And so if we're differentiated and show up in that way, we're doing our really good work of how to be relational. And then there's this other aspect of it too. And that is, I'm going to be differentiated with you, meaning I'm going to be a safe place for you to tell me who you really are and what you really think. And I'm not going to make you pay for that. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to tell you to get on with it. Why are we still talking about this? I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to punish you because it's not what I want to hear. Even if I don't agree at all with what you're saying, I am a safe space for you. And when we can do that with each other, now we're doing serious grown-up relationship. And when every relationship, and I don't care how well-functioning you are, how healthy you are, it is a constant cycle of togetherness, rupture. Something happens to rupture, pull us apart, get us upset, off kilter, whatever, then repair. And knowing how to do repair really, really well. And then we're together again. And if you skip that step, then the distance will continue to grow and grow and resentment builds. And so to have a healthy relationship, you have to have all those things in place. And it's, you know, it's a process.
Yeah. So just from what I hear you saying, you're saying an awareness of self, mm-hmm. safety, differentiation, mm-hmm. and being able to repair well.
Yes.
I think I missed that class in high school.
I thought when I first learned to do this work, and I was already well married, almost divorced before I figured this out. And I'm like, dang, like to get a driver's license, like you got to figure
something out.
They give you a book. You got to take, you got to learn, you got to practice,
right.
You know, then you have to pass a test to get a marriage license. You just show up, throw some money on the counter and good luck.
You have a license to be together for the rest of your life. Good luck. Wow. That's so helpful. I think that the culture, you know, like in these days really is emphasizing mental health and, you know, self-care and being able to identify what you need. But then also, I don't think that there's this idea of, hey, creating safe spaces for other people and being able to communicate your needs and being able to, I like what you said, hear and receive a no, and yeah. That'd be okay.
So I've got another client. I adore this couple, but man, they're tough. And he comes from a very wounded place. And I tell him he's got a firefighter. And when it gets hurt, when somebody steps on that wound, he comes out and scorches the earth, right? Because he's so angry. And he'll say horrible, horrible things. And he loves his wife, but he really does get to this place where he's like, that's it, I'm done. I'm like, you're not done. You're not done. You're going to calm down and you're not going to feel this way. But now you've done a lot of damage, right? And I will talk to her alone when he's not in the room. And she will say, I am always walking on eggshells. And every time I feel like it start to feel safe where I can lean in to him, something will happen. I don't even know what causes it. And he will come out like that. And then I'm like, I don't even know what to do with that. The things he says is so hurtful. Hmm. And so I pull back. And then once he scorches the earth, once he vents out, he's like, okay, well, all right. We're, you know, sorry. Shouldn't have handled it that way. You know, bad me, whatever. Ready to kind of pull it back in. That's his idea of repair, right? But she's just over there just devastated.
Of course.
And then he gets mad that she's not recovering quickly enough.
Hmm.
You know? And so this is such a differentiation issue for them because he doesn't know his own woundedness enough to know that this is a him problem, not a her problem, right? That she's touching that wound and he is reacting as if she's intentionally coming after him for blood when she doesn't, she's not.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know himself very well and he's not a safe space for her because when he is hurt and he is reactive as much as he loves her, he'd lay down on the floor and die for her if, you know, if he needed to, but he's not a safe space. And so if I can't help him get to that place of differentiation, I don't know. I don't know that they'll make it.
Yeah. Man. And we want people to get there. Like everything that we do in our work is to one, help a person, you know, be the mirror, be the reflection that they need to see what's going on inside themselves. But then also realize, hey, like my actions impact the people that are closest to me.
Mm-hmm.
And for marriages, I mean, it's day in and day out impacting the person that's closest to you. It's day in and day out that you're impacting the person that you wake up to and you go to sleep to.
And, you know, we talk about love and what is love. Another really important aspect to this is not just the action of love. And it's not just the differentiation, although those are both critical and important pieces to it. But there's also this thing of, you know, your marriage is this separate entity. So it's Kim and my husband, John, right? So there's two of us, Kim, John, and then there's our marriage. Three separate beings. And the marriage lives in the space or the atmosphere that John and Kim create together.
Hmm.
So we create the atmosphere that gives life to the marriage. So we're either poisoning the environment with bad attitudes, with critical remarks, nagging behaviors, complaints, criticisms, blame shifting, all that stuff. We're either doing that and it's poisoning the air, or we are taking care of our environment, which lets the relationship thrive. Hmm. Now, our relationship is strong enough today. Thank you, Jesus. Our relationship is strong enough today that one of us can have a bad day and we can have a rupture. You know, I can come home in a bad mood and say something snippy, or, you know, John can do something that kind of torques me just a little bit. Right. And we've put a little poison in the air, but our relationship is still okay because it's a healthy environment overall. Right. And so we know how to come in, make quick repair so we can get that out. It's like a good ventilation system. We want that out. We want to get rid of that in the air. Right.
Right.
And so when you keep putting that stuff in and the environment just gets more and more toxic. And I think of those, I saw that documentary about Chernobyl and how the environment, you know, that place is just really toxic. Like animals are now having two heads and, you know, nothing's growing really well there. And I think that's the environment people are creating for their own marriages, for their own relationships. And then wondering why they're struggling. They can't breathe. Nobody can breathe clean air. Mm-mm. Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Toxic and all the awful and horrible ingredients to make an environment unstable and kind of suffocate you and produce death.
So I see like financial infidelity, right? Financial betrayal.
Yeah.
Somebody will purchase things, not tell their spouse, lie about it. You know, it used to be a thing, like joke, like hiding clothes you buy in the closet, not telling your husband that you did. And he says, oh, is that new? Oh no, I've had that a while. Well, it was in the closet for 6 months and hidden in the back. Right. but even just that, like, kind of seems harmless on some level. Right. But what's it doing to the environment that you're breathing?
Yeah.
Right. You're just putting toxic air. Why do that? Why risk that?
Yeah. A lot of us don't know what we're putting into the atmosphere. Into our third identity atmosphere, the us. that we create. Yeah.
We're so worried about climate change. We need to focus on our home climate, don't we?
That's so true. Well, Kim, thanks so much for being on today. We talked about what is love and is it all that we need? And we realized today that it's not all that we need. We need to be able to differentiate. We need to be able to create safe spaces. We need to be able to be self-aware and do the work that it takes to contribute positively to this us that we create. Mm-hmm. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think at some point, let's do a segment on what to do when you're not feeling the feelings. Because you don't, you know, they're not everything, but they're important.
Right.
Right. They're not all you need, but they're icing on the cake.
Ooh.
So how do you increase feelings of love?
Man, that's going to be a really interesting episode. So guys, everyone that's been tuning in, you're going to want to come back and listen to episode 2, where we talk about feelings and feelings of love. Once again, my name is John Bautista. You've been listening to the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. Y'all stay safe out there. Peace.